Straight there. Thank you, ladies. The mercies of the Lord, they're new every morning. His faithfulness is great. This morning, as we continue our study through the book of the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 15, where Jesus talks about abiding in him. And as we think about this topic of abiding in the Lord this morning, abiding in Christ, we're going to look, first of all, at the relationships involved in abiding in Christ, then the ranks of fruit that are developed from abiding in Christ, then the range of fruit produced from abiding in Christ, and then the reimbursements or the blessings that are ours from abiding in Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a few introductory remarks before we look at the individual verses here. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for Christ. And thank you that he came to earth and died in our place for our sins on the cross so that we would not have to suffer the punishment of our own sins, but by faith trusting in Christ could have eternal life through you. If there's anyone listening to the message today who's never come to trust Christ and they are not in Christ, I pray that they would come to know you as Savior today. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this chapter here, or part of the chapter anyway, we're going to see the word abide. And the word abide occurs 9 times in the first 10 verses. So obviously this is a key word, and this is the importance of this particular passage. And if you have a red letter edition, it's easy to see right away that this is Jesus speaking in this entire chapter, and we'll continue to chapter next week. But there's one requirement for bearing fruit. God wants every one of us to be fruit bearers, to have fruit for his glory. And it doesn't, this one requirement is not having a seminary degree or a college degree or a high school degree. It's not tied to how often we go to church or we don't go to church. This one requirement that we have for bearing fruit is simply abide. And if we're going to bear fruit for the Lord, we must abide in Christ. So we're going to look and see what it means to abide and to make sure that we are abiding so that we can produce fruit. And that is the purpose, as we'll see here. And by way of introduction, we think about this, and it was April, Jesus is talking, the grapevines were beginning to blossom, and he had just left the upper room that we saw last week in chapter 14, and perhaps he was walking past the vines, and he takes this object lesson, very visual, and starts talking about the vine. And Israel, his people, were known as a vine. We see in Psalm 80, it says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." And of course, that refers to when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he refers to them as a vine. He says, "Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou prepared room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars." And God says, Israel's like this vine. And I planted this wonderful vine, and the purpose that God had for Israel was to produce fruit that would bring glory to the God who had delivered them from the land of Egypt. But we see over in Jeremiah, it says, "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" And so when God planted them, he intended for them to bear great fruit, but they didn't. They became, as it says here, degenerate there. And we look at our nation, though we're not the chosen of God like Israel, we can see at the founding of our nation where there was a lot of giving of thanks to God and honoring God, and the United States of America has become like this, haven't we? A degenerate nation, a strange vine, and we don't see, of course, there's a remnant, there are God's people here, but for the most part, we see America doing the exact same thing that Israel did. And in Isaiah chapter 5, we've been studying Isaiah on Sunday nights, and several weeks ago when we were in chapter 5, it talks about the parable of the vineyard. If you have time, sometimes look back to Isaiah 5, and they had not produced the fruit that God wanted them to produce. They had produced bad fruit instead. And then in Hosea, it says, Israel is an empty vine. And so here's the vine, and God has planted them, and you go to it, and there's no fruit on it there. And we have a nice grapevine at my mom and dad's house in Bishopville. And every August, we always look forward to all the grapes because, I mean, it's just flowing with grapes. And, of course, the birds and the squirrels like to get them as well there. But it's a wonderful thing to go and see all those grapes on there. And I saw them starting already when I was over last week. But can you imagine going and ready to partake with those wonderful grapes and there's nothing on it? And God said, that's the way Israel. And an empty vine is an empty life there. And it just yields an empty life. And God doesn't want our lives to be empty and meaningless. God wants us to have joy, as we'll see a little bit later. He wants us to have fulfillment and contentment. And he wants our vines to be full of fruit. And it brings glory to him. And there are benefits to us as well, as we saw in the summary, the beginning of the outline there. So let's look, first of all, at the relationships involved in abiding. Notice that little prepositional phrase, in me, in verse 2. Every branch in me. And so here, that little phrase occurs six times. And so it's important to know, how do we get in me, that is, in Christ. And many of the epistles talk about being in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. And so we don't get in Christ by coming to church. We don't get in Christ by being very moral in our living. We don't get to be in Christ by being very religious. There's only one way to get in Christ, and that's by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us there. And so being in Christ is important. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to bear the fruit, as we'll see in just a little bit. And so the relationship, first of all, there's the father farmer. He's called the husbandman. And verse 1, he said, I'm the true vine and my father is the husbandman there. And the husbandman, the farmer, the owner is the one who's going to gain the benefit of that. He's going to be able to take the produce. He's going to be able to feed his family. He's going to be able to sell some and help others. He's going to give some away. And he's going to get the great benefit from that. And our lives should be the same. Our lives should benefit the Lord. In verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified. And God is glorified when we bear fruit. And we bear fruit as we abide in Christ. And so the first relationship is that of the Father. The second relationship is that of the divine vine. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. And notice that the vine does not bear fruit. He delegates that to the branches. And we see that that's the third relationship, the believer branch. That's us. He says, you are the branches. And so the vine doesn't bear the fruit, but the branch can't bear fruit unless it's attached to the vine there. And that's similar with the analogy that we have in the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, about we are sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd is not the one who reproduces sheep. The sheep are the ones who reproduce other sheep there. And so we are the branches, but we can't bear fruit. We can't have any amount of fruit if we are not in the vine. And so this relationship here is so important. The size of the branch is not important. How beautiful the branch is really not that important if it doesn't have any fruit, because that's the purpose, to bear fruit there. And our responsibility is not really to bear fruit. That's the result of abiding. Our responsibility is to abide. Fruit comes naturally. The farmer can do all the things to cultivate and fertilize and insecticides and all of that, but he can't make it grow. And neither can we make fruit grow in our lives. When we try to produce it of our own efforts, it's of the flesh, and it's not fruit that glorifies God. And so we can pray, we can study our Bible, we can meditate on the scriptures and worship and praise. We can do all of those things, and as we do those things, they glorify God. But we have to have this abiding, and that's the relationship that we'll see with this word abiding. Secondly, we'll look at the ranks of fruit developed from abiding in Christ. The first one, where it says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And so the first one, as we see, is a branch that has no fruit, and it's soon gone. He takes it away there. And notice that this branch is in me. And so he's not talking about an unsaved person in here. Story that Jesus is giving in this analogy with the vineyard is talking about the relationship we have with Christ and the fruit as believers that we bear. And so when it talks about cutting him off there, it's not talking about a person being unsaved and going to hell, but we know that unsaved people do go to hell, but that's not what he's saying here. He says if a person is in Christ, in me, and he doesn't bear fruit, God takes him away. We don't have time to get into the doctrine of the one verse over in 1 John where it says there is a sin unto death. And sometimes people say, well, what sin is that? You know, and they start naming all these different sins that will cause a person to die. And there's not one particular sin that is the sin unto death. But it's any sin that a believer has in his life where he's not abiding in Christ and he's not bearing fruit anymore. And God says, it's time for you to come on home. You're not being productive to me on earth. And so there's a sin unto death. So it's very important for us as believers that are not just in Christ, but that we're abiding in Christ. Otherwise, it'll be time for us to go home, which is not a bad thing. But we don't want to go home because we were cut short, had our branch cut off. Well, the second rank of fruit is bearing fruit here. And this is a grounded branch. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit. And so it's a wonderful thing that we are grounded. We're connected to the vine. You take that branch and you remove it and set it over here. You can put it in the shade and you can water it every day and you can do everything you want to it. But if it's not connected to the vine, it's not going to produce fruit there. And we must be grounded. And we'll see later, it says you're clean through the Word. And so we have to be grounded in the Word of God. And as we study the Word of God, it helps us to bear fruit. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed man who his leaf does not wither. And whatsoever he does prospers because he's planted, he's grounded by rivers of water. And as we are grounded in the Word of God, in our faith, in Christ, we begin to bear fruit. And that's a wonderful thing. But it can be even better. Verse 2 says that every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. And this is a growing branch. And probably all of you understand the pruning process. You go through and you have these limbs there and you start cutting them off. There we did that on some crepe myrtles, I think a year or so ago on the other side of the building. And they were cut back to nothing almost. And now you go and look at them and the branches are blooming. And sometimes God does that in our lives as well. He begins to cut us back. He cuts back the size of the branch, but the emphasis is always on the fruit there. And so we talk about God's discipline as a father to us as believers. And sometimes he disciplines us. He prunes us there. And whenever the gardener is pruning the tree or the bush, the flowers, his hands are very near to that. And he's pruning it carefully and tenderly. So even when God is pruning us, he's doing it with loving care because he wants us to bear more fruit. And as we'll see, not only does it glorify God, but also there are benefits to us as well. Hebrews, the author of Hebrews talks about the sin that doth so easily beset us. And whenever we have unconfessed sin in our lives as believers, then it's going to beset us. It's going to hinder the production of fruit in our lives. Notice in verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Without him, we can't do anything. Without abiding in the branch, in the vine. And everything that we try to do without him amounts to nothing there. And so any fruit that's produced apart from the vine is artificial fruit. And it might look good to some, but it's not beneficial for nourishment there. And if we are in the flesh trying to produce fruit, it's going to be fruit that causes people to look at us and say, boy, look at all that fruit, though it's artificial. It's to make us look better. And that's not the purpose of it. The fruit is to glorify God. And we even go to the next step, and that is full potential. And that's what God wants from each one of us as believers, to bear much fruit, as it says in verse 5. And then verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, it is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned because they're not useful in bearing fruit. Again, this is not a salvation text in the context here. It has to do with our relationship to Christ here. And remember when we study about the parable of the good soil, where some brought forth 30, some brought forth 60, some brought forth 100, some brought fruit, some more fruit, some much fruit. And that brings the much fruit, all of them glorify God. But the more fruit, the more glory to God. And the hundredfold represents they have reached their full potential. And that should be the desire of every one of us. Lord, I want my tree, my life, to bear fruit to the fullest where it can't bear any more. And how do we do that? We abide in Christ. That is our responsibility there. And the quantity of the fruit and the quality of the fruit is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to abide in Christ. So let's look at that and see what some of that involves. And so we talk about the range of fruit produced from abiding in Christ. First, there is sanctification, and that is becoming like him. And from the very moment that God saves us, he begins to change us, to mold us into his image, so that one day we're like him. And 1 John says, and whenever we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass, we behold the glory of the Lord. And as we do that, we are changed to the same image. And so whenever we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to change our ways, to change our words, to change our attitudes, to change our treatment of other people. When he changes us, there's a sanctifying process because we're not living like we used to before we were saved. He's in the process of changing us and helping us to become like him. Only he can make us like him. We can't do that. Well, the second range of fruit produced is spirituality, and that is behaving like him. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And Jesus Christ demonstrated each one of these. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so there is the fruit of sanctification. There is also the fruit of spirituality, so that we're, as God is changing us from the inside out, our actions begin to reflect the one in whom we are abiding, the vine, because he's delegated that fruit to the branch, and he does it through his indwelling Holy Spirit. And then the third range of fruit would be souls. As I mentioned earlier, it's not the responsibility of the vine to bear the fruit, it's the branches. It's not the responsibility of the shepherd to reproduce the sheep, it's the responsibility of the sheep. And we're all sheep in God's fold. And so Jesus said, as he looked out over the city of Jerusalem, and we see his burden, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And the verse goes on to say, "Thou that killed the prophets." He says, "How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." And you wouldn't there. And he was longing to take them in. And there was a burden. The Apostle Paul shared that burden in Romans chapter 1. Paul said, "Now, would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles." Paul said, "I wanted to be with them so I could have some fruit." Paul wanted to see them come to know the Lord, and it's our responsibility to abide in Christ. And whenever we are abiding in Christ and we're being transformed and we're behaving like him, he will use us to bring other people into his kingdom. We can't make people get saved. That's not our job. Our job is to be faithful as a witness there. And the range of fruit, sanctification, becoming like him, spirituality, behaving like him, and souls, burden like him. And so God wants to change us, and the ultimate purpose is that he might be glorified. In verse 8, "Herein, that is, as we abide in Christ, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." So God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear more fruit. He wants us to bear much fruit. We should not be satisfied with what we are producing for the glory of God. We should want to say, "God, I want to glorify you more. How can I abide in you more? How can I have this closer fellowship with Christ?" And that's what happens, this abiding. It's our relationship with Christ happens the moment we get saved and we are in Christ. Then the fellowship occurs daily as we continue to develop that relationship, just as we would human relationships. It has to do with spending time together and sharing of things in common. And we do that with Christ. And we can't begin to abide more in Christ if we neglect him Monday through Saturday and we don't have anything to do with him except Sunday church. Now we come to the reimbursements, the benefits that are ours whenever we are abiding in Christ. And the first one is unhindered prayers. He says in verse 7, "If you abide in me," notice the "if." "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." That helps us to understand more what it means to abide in Christ. So we're abiding in him, and his word is abiding in us. And his word can't abide in us if we don't read it, if we don't meditate on it, if we don't study it. And so our abiding in Christ determines our fruit production, and the extent of our abiding is determined by how much we're in the Word. And so as we are in the Word, he says, "If you abide in me and my words you shall ask what you will," there. And what a wonderful thing for us as Christians that we can pray and expect God to answer. Now we know that the psalmist said, David in Psalm 66, 18, he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," you know the verse, "the Lord will not hear me." And so we can't be abiding in Christ and regarding iniquity in the heart at the same time. So abiding in Christ not only involves getting into the scriptures, abiding in Christ involves continual confession of our sins. 1 John 1, 9 is written to believers, and it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we abide in Christ by being in the Word. We abide in Christ by confessing our sins. And if you say, "Well, I don't know of any I've committed. I think I've confessed them all." Well, if we go to God and say, "Lord, will you point any out that I may have overlooked? And as we meditate and ask God to put his finger on them, he will. You probably experience that. He will show us some things, maybe some thoughts, maybe some words, the way we treated someone. He'll say something to us through the Holy Spirit to convict us. And then, whenever we are abiding in Christ to the fullest, we can expect to have the fullest of answers to our prayers there. Well, the second benefit, or reimbursement, is an unfailing love. Notice he says in this verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so he talks about my love there. And the vine and the branches speaks of this relationship. And it's a relationship of love where God loves us there. And we should have that same love as God does. He continues to say, if you keep my commandments in verse 10, abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandment, and I abide in his love. So Jesus says, I'm abiding in my Father. I'm abiding in his love, and God's love is not like man's love. Think about God's love. We think about sacrifice, which is the ultimate act of love. And that's what he says here in verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when we think about that, it's a wonderful thing to be called a friend of God, as we sang in our hymn. But Jesus didn't come to earth and lay down his life for his friends. He came and laid down his life for his enemies there. And so what a sacrifice that he made. So unhindered prayer. We don't regard iniquities in our heart. Married folks, 1 Peter talks about husbands. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge, that your prayers be not hindered. So if husbands and wives are not dwelling together in harmony, they are not abiding together in Christ, and their prayers would be hindered. If we're not loving sacrificially, we're not loving like Christ. If we're not loving not only sacrificially, but as friends, again, we see that in verse 14. Ye are my friends there. Isn't friendship a wonderful thing? You have friends, you know you can depend on them, they can depend on you. If they need help with something, they don't mind asking you, because that relationship of friendship is great. And we have that relationship with Christ as we abide in him. Also, this sacrificial love, unfailing love, takes initiative as well. Verse 16. God says, Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And the love that God has, he took the initiative. Lost mankind wasn't out seeking for God, seeing how to be saved. God took the initiative and sent his son to die for us. And if we're going to have my love, as Jesus called it, then we have to take the initiative. It's one thing to be willing to help anybody who asks, and most people will do that for a friend. But it's something else to take the initiative and go and help without even being asked. And that's God's love there. And also, verse 16 says, and that your fruit should remain. And so the love of Christ, my love that he calls it here, is a love that produces fruit. As I said earlier, the leaf doesn't wither in Psalm 1. And there's no fruit in farming without work. And so the Bible talks about works. Faith without works is dead. And so we're involved in works. But we are working, but yet we're abiding in Christ. And as we abide in him, and we're trusting him, and we are faithfully doing or working out your own salvation, as the scripture says, not in order to be saved, but what's already in us, we're working it out. As we're putting that abiding trust and that faithful work together through the unfailing love of God, then there's fruit coming into our lives. And the last thing that is ours, that he wants us to have, is unequaled joy. In verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And the world can't give us joy. Well, people might get happiness because they get a lot of things, or the world can offer some happiness, which depends on what's happening around us, but the world can't give us joy. Jesus gives that. He says, my joy I give. Now, his joy comes at salvation, but full joy comes whenever we begin to abide in him. And the full joy comes whenever we allow the tender hands of the gardener to prune off those things in our lives that are hindering production for the Lord, and also when we are being productive for the Lord. That's when our full joy comes. And Satan tries to deceive us in thinking, I'm really going to have joy and fulfillment if I go my way and do what I want to do, do what satisfies me, what brings me the most pleasure, the most relaxation. And he will deceive us. But Jesus says, if you really want to have full joy, I have joy for you that's unequaled of any joy in all the world. If you will abide in me and understand the pruning that I'm doing in your lives, you can be productive for the Lord, for his glory. And so we ask ourselves two questions. Are you in Christ? And the only way to get in Christ is to trust him by faith. We put our faith in Christ, the completed work that he's done on the cross when he died in our place for our sins. And the moment we trust him, we are in Christ. And from that moment on, he begins to change us, and he wants to produce fruit in us. And we produce that fruit by abiding in Christ. And so are you abiding in Christ? To what degree are you abiding? Are you bearing fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? And I think if we were all honest, we could say, Lord, I'm really not bearing as much fruit as I'd like to. I'd like to bring more glory to your name. So help me to abide more, so that you can produce more fruit through this branch, so that you can be glorified, and that your joy might be full in me, that others might see the joy of the Lord and want to be in Christ as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the teachings of Jesus with this lesson to the disciples about the vine. Thank you that you have grafted us in. You've made us a part of your family. As believers, we are in Christ. What a wonderful relationship that is established that moment of salvation. And Lord, help us as we live out that salvation, that we might experience your love and your joy, recognizing that all the fruit that I try to produce myself is just artificial. Help us to realize that our responsibility is to closely abide in the relationship with Christ, and then the fruit will come naturally as we do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.